unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, Preacher of Salem, is written by Peter Lyon and is presented in observance of Thanksgiving.
In this season of the year, we give thanks for many blessings, but for none more dearly held than for the liberty of each man's conscience to worship as he will. Freedom of religion. The Pilgrims, the Puritans, the first settlers, they did not find freedom of religion lying on the beaches to be picked up and slipped casually into their pockets. Some didn't want such freedom. Some hated it. A few, led by one man, had to fight to get it.
The minister isn't here?
He'll be coming back any minute. Now, do come in and wait.
We really shouldn't stay. I've work to do at home.
Come in and take a cup of tea, at least. I've got some drying now in front of the fire. Come sit with me. He'll be back in just a moment, I'm sure.
It is Salem, on the Massachusetts coast, 300 and more years ago. Salem, taken from the Hebrew word shalom, which means peace. But there was precious little peace in our Salem in the year 1635. The people of the town are upset, stirred, anxious, but united. They have learned that the powerful magistrates in Boston, backed up by the organized clergy, are planning the chastisement of their preacher, the preacher of Salem, a man in his early 30s named Roger Williams.
He should be here now.
Well, come, my dear. We really mustn't stay any longer, Mrs. Williams.
I'm so sorry Mr. Williams didn't get back before.
Well, I stopped in only to ask what he's decided to do.
Do, Mr. Endicott?
If the magistrates ask him to recant his opinions when the court convenes next week.
I confess I don't understand any of this, Mrs. Williams, but isn't it exciting? And I must say the whole town's very proud of your husband's determination. I'm sure you must be, too. Yes, of course.
Well, come, dear, we really must.
No, but tell me, what are those dangerous opinions of his and yours, John? I know there's something about a resident's oath which you and he both oppose.
The magistrates in Boston have ordered everyone to take the oath, Mrs. Endicott, swearing that they will be obedient to the magistrates.
So help me God. That makes it an act of worship.
And we feel an act of worship must not be used to sanctify civil authority.
Oh.
Well, now, come, dear, really, we're late now.
No, wait. Just wait a moment. His sermon last Sunday about magistrates interfering with the first table.
Well, the first table is the one on which the first four of the Ten Commandments were written down, Mrs. Endicott.
The preacher says that no magistrate should be allowed to punish violations of the first four commandments. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. He says that's the business of the church, not the state. I must say I agree with him, but...
But what?
Well, now, Mrs. Williams, both these things, they're both part of the same fight. Your husband feels the church should be separate and apart from the civil authority, and I agree with him, but...
But what, Mr. Endicott?
Well, if the magistrates insist... After all, they're law and order, aren't they?
My husband will pray for guidance, Mr. Endicott, and do what he believes is right.
Yes, of course.
And we will all support him, whatever he does, Mrs. Williams. Such a fine preacher, inspiring. You know he can depend on us.
Yes, of course. Well, come, my dear, we really must.
Oh, Roger,
here he is now.
Ah, Mr. Endicott, Mrs. Endicott. You're not going just as I arrived?
Oh, have to, Minister. Have to.
I'll take your cloak, Roger.
We just stopped by for a moment. There was a question we had. If the court charges you with refusing to take their oath and urging the same course on others...
What will I do then?
Exactly. What will you do then? I've been wondering what I should do if they call me up. I'm of two minds.
I'm of at least three, Brother Endicott. I was worrying and chewing it over in my mind most of last week. I decided not to worry about it at all anymore until the magistrates decided whether or not they wanted to charge me with anything. It's astonishing how much time that decision saved me. You must go?
Must, yes. Come, my dear.
Goodbye, then, Brother Endicott. And pray that your conscience guide you well.
Goodbye, Minister. Goodbye, Mrs. Endicott. Some tea, Roger? Sit down. I can brew some fresh...
Mary, I was not entirely frank with Brother Endicott. I've already heard from the court. And so will he.
They are charging you both?
Yes.
They are doing it when they know the whole congregation, the whole town agrees with you and will back you up? Do they want to fight, Roger?
I think they must charge me, Mary. It is in the nature of their position. They can't do otherwise.
How do you mean?
They are authority. If a man disagrees with authority, then they must adjudge him as in contempt of that authority. They, the magistrates and my brethren of the clergy. The clergy demand a uniform church and a uniform church discipline. For their part, the magistrates demand the civil power to make such uniformity compulsory. And so the rule of the magistrates is sanctified by the clergy. And so the rule of the clergy is compelled by the magistrates. And so a man's conscience is...
trampled upon.
And so a man's conscience must decide what is right.
You're going to defy them, aren't you, Roger? You will defy them, and all Salem will back you up, and so will all our friends in Plymouth. Yes, even in Boston. You're sure to be upheld.
I don't know what I shall do. I'm as bad as that weather vane of an Endicott who changes his mind after each meal. I hate the idea of a fight like the very devil. Look, what will it mean to you with one baby and another on the way?
But Roger, with everybody on our side.
I'll pray for the strength to do what I think is right.
And so there was a trial, and Roger Williams was summoned in judgment. He had begun by opposing an oath.
I will be obedient and conformable and submit to the laws and constitutions and the authority of the governor and the magistrates, so help me God.
For Roger Williams insisted that he would deny the right of the magistrate to punish breaches of the first four of the Ten Commandments. The court was advised by leading ministers.
Williams must be admonished. He teaches that a church might run into heresy, apostasy, or tyranny, and yet the civil magistrate could not intermeddle. His opinions are erroneous and very dangerous.
And what of the people of Salem who had made Roger Williams their minister?
Their action is to be censured as a great contempt of authority. At the next sitting of the general court, Williams must give place to the truth or expect sentence.
The people of Salem heard the news of the court's decision with dismay.
How dare they do it? Didn't they give us assurance that no church or person could have power over another church?
Trying to tell us how to run our business.
Trying to tell us what we should think. That's what they're doing. And what about you, Endicott?
Well, I... Yes, is it true? They say you told the court you would agree to their oath and stop arguing against it.
Yes.
I didn't think it proper to oppose the court.
Proper?
I don't think it proper now. The right way is to convince the court that its position is wrong. But a man should not oppose the court under any circumstances.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Or anyway, that's what I think. That's why I...
What's going on?
Why, it's the elder, Sam Shaw.
I know. It's an outrage, all right. But they've done it anyway.
What now?
You know the petition we had before the court?
You mean for the land in Marblehead Neck?
They rejected the petition.
But why?
That land was ours, clearly and fairly.
Yes, but they wouldn't even hear any of our arguments. They wouldn't listen to us.
But why?
Because Roger Williams is our preacher.
What?
Well, of all
that's what they said. Because we chose Roger Williams to be our preacher, the town shall not get the land.
Let's call a meeting.
Everybody in town, yes, meet in the church.
And an indignation meeting.
And write letters to all the other congregations of the whole colony.
Right.
Will you show them?
Go over the heads of the court.
Oh. Feel that's proper now, do you, Endicott?
We're defending our right to run our own church.
What can be more proper?
From Salem Church went a letter asking the other churches to admonish the magistrates for their heinous sin and likewise the deputies. An extraordinary step, an extraordinary meeting, an extraordinary time. And when the meeting stood adjourned and the minister and his young wife had gone home...
You must be tired, Roger.
No, I'm not. Isn't that strange? I'm not. I feel strong, as though I'm stronger now
than... You were fine tonight. Especially your long speech in defense of a free congregation.
The only test of the effectiveness of a speech is what people do after you're finished.
Well, we agreed, didn't we, to send that letter to all the other congregations? And it's a good letter, Roger. Forthright, resolute.
Yes, we agreed to send the letter. I wish we could guarantee that the letter will have readers.
What do you mean?
The letters will go to the elders of the other churches. Now then, will the ministers tell the elders to pocket the letter so that they will never be read to the congregation?
They wouldn't dare.
The reverend clergy and the magistrates and the governor will decide. Will they want the people to decide? I think not.
But, Roger, it was you who suggested that the letter be sent.
Why, certainly. It's an attempt. We will now find out, have we the right to communicate what is in our hearts to other churches?
Oh, Roger.
What is it, my love?
I don't want another fight. I don't want this fight to continue. I'm weary of all this wrangling. Must it go on, Roger? Why cannot people agree out of sweet charity, live with each other at peace instead of this eternal bickering and struggle and contention?
I know. I know how you feel.
I'm tired. And, Roger, I'm worried, too. I'm anxious for you and what will happen. And for what they will do next. If you are right, Roger, if they'd hush up the letters, what wouldn't they do next to quiet you? To hush your voice, to stop your teaching and your preaching?
I know, Mary. I think of that.
Roger, they might even try to send you back to England, to banish you.
I know.
But I know you must be wrong. I pray that you are. I pray that they will have the letters read, and that the people will understand, and that they will see the light of truth and back us up.
But the letters were not read. They were never read. They were kept in the pockets of the elders. Again, a letter went from Salem, written by Elder Sharp, addressed to the elders in Boston.
We have not yet apprehended it to be the voice of the officers of a church when public letters are sent from sister churches to deliver or not to deliver the letters unto the body. The affairs of a congregation belong to the whole body of the congregation. Nor do we of Salem believe that the people are weak, giddy, and rash, and therefore should not enjoy such liberties.
Now the magistrates and the elders were cheered by an event which they hailed as a judgment of God. For Roger Williams fell sick. On his sick bed, the young preacher examined his conscience. He prayed. But he found no reason for changing his views. On the contrary, he went further along the path he had chosen.
It's in the back room, Mr. Endicott. Go straight on in.
Thank you, Miss Williams.
Our brother Endicott. Come in, come in.
How are you?
Us, rather, how are you?
I? I'm much better. I'll be up and around tomorrow, I think. I finished my letter.
The letter to our congregation?
The way is clear now. My mind, at least, is formed. Salem Church, I've written, must come out from the churches of the Bay. Separate itself from them. I should have recommended this step months ago. How else gain our independence, freedom of action?
Yes.
How is it in the town?
Angry. That's how it is in the town, Minister. You've heard that the General Court has unseated our Salem deputies.
No.
Sent them home. We'd have no representation on the court until our church and congregation disowned the letters Elder Sharp sent to Boston.
Well, at any rate, that's the logic of their position.
Logic? Is there logic in tyranny?
I tell you, Minister, I propose to fight this and fight it hard. I'm off to Boston myself to confront the court and state the rights of our town and our people. They simply cannot
John,
be permitted John, to ride roughshod
John,
over...
John, brother. I honor your temper, but is it wise for you to face the court and defy them?
Is it Roger Williams who has twice faced and defied the court? Is it Roger Williams who asks the question?
Go to Boston, John, and go with God.
And John Endicott went to Boston, but he never faced the court. He never got the chance, for it was ordered by the magistrates that John Endicott be forthwith clapped into jail. Back in Salem, Mary Williams was 7 months with child, and her husband, looking at her, felt the tugs of doubt and uncertainty.
Mary.
Yes?
What's the matter? You've been so quiet. It's nothing I've done, is it, or said?
Roger, I don't want to do anything, say anything to influence you. You know that, only...
Yes?
Roger, the fight has gone so far. You know what happened. The congregation, most of them anyway, they've made their choice.
Yes, for fear of persecution, they will now say and practice what, to my certain knowledge, many of them mourn to do.
No matter which choice you make, there must be mourning, Roger.
And you would have me make the choice they have made? Not all of them have made that choice, my dear. Some of them will follow me anywhere, even in exile.
Would you be responsible for that?
Your resignation, Mary, does not make a very sure sword and buckler for me.
I'm sorry, Roger, I'm sorry. But I cannot make myself think that this whole struggle is more important than my babies. In a year or two, it will all be forgot.
Forgot? We won't have liberty. Liberty of searching out truth. It's hardly got that liberty and hardly kept...
Oh, Roger.
Hush, hush, dear. Here's Elder Sharp coming up the walk.
Him too. He's against you now.
Come in. Come in, Brother Sharp.
Minister. Good afternoon, Mrs. Williams.
Come in, pray.
You've been hurrying. What bad news now?
Bad news? I'm not sure. Word has just come from Boston of John Endicott.
Oh?
They've released him from jail, Minister. He came, acknowledged his fault, and was discharged.
Acknowledged his fault?
He recognized he had been in error, Minister, in opposing the authorities.
I see. I will not pass judgment on his action.
In just such a way, Minister, you could purge yourself and make many of us in Salem happier. Good day, Mr. Williams.
Good day to you, Elder Sharp.
In just such a way, Roger, you could purge yourself and make many of us in Salem happier.
Dear love, speak with the voice God gave you, and not with a man-made echo.
Inexorably, the days passed. The leaves of the sugar maples flared into flame and gold. The Puritans took their heavy woolen cloaks from their maple chests. It was October 1635, and the general court sat in session on the case of Roger Williams. Now wealthy John Haynes was governor. He presided, and at his either side sat the magistrates and all the colony's clergy. For this trial was momentous. Authority was to make a vigorous example of independence.
Roger Williams, you are charged with the dangerous belief that the magistrates have no power to enforce breaches of the first four commandments, and with urging others to agree with this belief. Likewise, with opposing the oath of the magistrates, and with urging others to a like opposition. Likewise, with a contempt of authority in presuming to admonish the magistrates of the colony in the letters sent from Salem Church to separate from the other churches of the colony. Master Williams, you have been given, out of the mercy of this court, many weeks to reconsider these things. How say you now?
I maintain all my opinions.
One moment, please. One moment.
And now Haynes, presiding at the trial, leans over to confer with John Winthrop, a magistrate, and with John Wilson, just back from London. Their heads together, these men whisper, now and then looking at Williams, their eyes then reaching back over Williams' head to study the faces of the people crowded into the room.
Master Williams, this court is anxious to show every restraint. We are decided that you shall have 1 month more to reflect on your new and dangerous opinions, returning here at that time to stand once more before the court.
Sir, there is nothing to be gained in delay. I would request to dispute my opinions presently.
A trial by the magistrates and clergy of the Massachusetts Bay Colony was an interesting proceeding. It was arraigned in this way. The man charged with dangerous opinions expounded his belief. Then the authorities put forward their beliefs, after which the authorities voted that they had won. On this occasion, there being many dangerous opinions which had to be refuted by this process, night overtook them. The court arose, enjoining Williams to appear for sentence next morning.
Roger. Roger, you still have time. There is still the chance to speak tomorrow morning to tell them...
Mary, quiet, for God's sake, quiet.
Another 3 weeks and our babe will be born, Roger. I am praying it will be born into a time of quiet and peace and security.
The babe must be born free, Mary. For unless it is freeborn, peace and security are only stupidity and ignorance.
But Roger...
No more, Mary. No more talk.
And now, in the early morning, the bright October morning, standing once again before the court, once again listening as Governor Haynes wraps out the charges. And now Haynes pauses, eyeing the preacher.
Master Williams, have you anything to say to this court?
These are my tenets, to which I stand fast. A man's conscience and his religion will fare badly if he permit the civil authority to control them or meddle with them. The truth can defend herself without need for reliance on civil authority. The best church is a free church in a free state. When a state makes it a crime for a man humbly and peaceably to question laws and statutes or whatever is publicly taught and delivered, then that state will find itself in chains, imprisoned by a jailer, which is ignorance. For months, Governor, you and your associates have hounded me, attacked me, and persecuted me for my honest and peaceful beliefs. Your persecution is most bloody, black, and foul. I stand by my beliefs.
Master Williams, whereas Master Roger Williams hath broached and divulged divers new and dangerous opinions against the authority of magistrates, has also written letters of defamation, both of the magistrates and churches here, and that before any conviction, and yet maintaineth the saying without retraction, it is therefore ordered that the said Master Williams shall depart out of this jurisdiction and be banished.
It's a girl, Minister Williams, and a fine, healthy girl she is, too.
And Mary?
Go on into her, if you please. She is well. Oh,
thank you, Doctor.
Mary.
My dear, I have thought what we will call her.
Never mind that now. I just want...
Listen to me. We will call her Freeborn, Roger. And it will be a reminder to us that you are a good man and right in your ways.
The name Mary and Roger Williams gave their second child was something more for us who have come after. It is a reminder that tyranny over ideas and persecution for religion met their first implacable foe on this continent when Roger Williams, preacher of Salem, fought to establish the principle of freedom of religion.
you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Herman Stichman, New York State Commissioner of Housing. Commissioner Stichman.
Freeborn Williams and religious liberty, both children of Roger Williams and both part of the American heritage. His life is a constant assurance that tyranny over ideas, persecution against religion, and denial of equal opportunity always will meet implacable foes here. But as we consider present world turbulence, some have doubt whether the light which he helped kindle can glow here as strongly tomorrow if its rays are curtained elsewhere today. If all men could visit homes in other lands, they would see how ineffective one's yearning for peace must be unless others desire it equally. They would learn that friendliness grows among peoples only when there is no cause for jealousy among nations. It is not enough to speak of equal opportunity. This must be realized in at least a minimum of decent living everywhere if desire for peace is to become universal. No nation building barriers to commerce which diminish opportunity for good livelihood elsewhere, or stifling the flow of information essential to mutual understanding, can expect friendliness from jealous, hungry, or non-understanding peoples. Generosity to those in need, terminable upon adversity to the giver, is welcomed, but not with the same warmth as support which helps people bring about their own permanent rehabilitation. This is as true of countries as of peoples. Removal of those barriers will help nourish international brotherhood and peace. Roger Williams could have had security within Massachusetts barricades, but he placed the common good foremost and kindled a light as he risked his life for his fellow men. So must each nation emerge from its own tower and aid others to reach the common goal, even if it may mean some sacrifice. If it is peace we all seek at this Thanksgiving time, all men must help each other travel together along the path shown by that eternal light.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.